Caroline, Willie, D-Maze, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, and The Game Nashville app. We're live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studios, and we are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. Our video streaming is brought to you by Superbook. Download their app today and use promo code THEGAME. Just wrapped up Titans practice. We're live out here at St. Thomas Sports Park, and joining us now is TD, Jerron Davenport. TD, always appreciate you joining us.
Yeah, for sure.
Biggest takeaways from practice today on a windy, windy practice day.
Well, the defense reigns supreme, that's for sure. And these younger DBs are really starting to step up. LJ Davis, Alonzo Davis is his name. 25, was it Marsh is his last. I forget his first name. I have to pull out my roster. But he had a nice PBU yesterday, earlier rather. And Kevin Byard is funny. He joked about it. He said that's the only DB he knows that wears a neck roll. Yeah, he probably is. Number 25, that is Armani Marsh. That's his name. Mm-hmm. So he stepped up. Overall, it was really solid play from them. I think that's the thing that has started to stand out some of these younger DBs. You know, Anthony Kendall is another one. So it's going to be pretty competitive. I like what we'll probably be able to see in these preseason games. So that's something that stood out to me.
Mike Vrabel up at the podium today mentioned that he's not going to be serving in a head coaching role, that it's going to be Terrell Williams, defensive line coach and assistant head coach. First thoughts when you heard that Mike Vrabel wasn't going to be serving in that role, kind of given the opportunity to Terrell Williams?
Well, my first thought was, I hope everything's all right. Mm-hmm. That was my first thought.
Yeah.
But then once he said that everything was cool, it's like, okay. Yeah, he deserves that, man. Because if you look, you know, I always talk about how much I respect this staff because of their drills that they do. Like, they're not out here just doing dumb stuff. But Derek, you can relate. Like, if you're out here, you want the things that you do to transfer to a game.
Right.
And you see that directly all the time, and the creativity. And a lot of that comes from Terrell Williams. Mm-hmm. You got Clinton McClintock, who is the assistant D-line coach, has helped. They do the kickballs and that stuff like that to make sure that they, you know, realize that, okay, I'm not going to win this rush. Let me go ahead and get my hands up. And ironically, you saw today there was a pass breakup that Danico Autry had, and it was during team period. He was coming off the – he was against Dillard, and Dillard won the rep, you know. But he broke down, put his hands up, and tipped the pass. So those are the type of things. And I asked Coach Vrabel about guys like Jaden Peavy, Tierra Tart, Naquan Jones, undrafted guys who are now a part of that rotation. That doesn't happen on accident. That's because of good coaching.
Now, what have you seen from the defense? I saw some plays out there. Didn't get a chance because of where they were positioned. A lot of times they were on the far end of the field. But from what I've seen in the passing game, there were some good passes, some really good passes by Will Levis, by Malik Willis, as well as Ryan Antonio. Now, because of the win, there was some passes that kind of errant passes. But for as a whole, how do you think the passing game looked today?
It struggled. There were some good passes. Willis had one where he hit Chris Moore, and it was like a double post type of combination, and Moore was running on the post, and I swear, like, before he made his plant with his outside foot, the ball was out, and Moore just stuck his foot in the ground and went and got it. That was a good throw, but for the most part, you know, they were doing some things to try to find Hopkins. I think Christian Fulton had a pass breakup. Murphy Bunning had one too. So they did a good job there overall. I like how the secondary looked, at least today.
We got a chance to talk with Spears today. Really good kid, humble kid. And he just talked about some of the things. He even said, listen, when I got the news about my knee, I was surprised because I played 14 games and was, you know, did his thing last year for Tulane. But what are you seeing from him? He was honest with us. He said, listen, some things I still am struggling with, but I will get it. But what happened to him?
Yeah, I think the main thing with him, well, there's two things. Because I remember when we first saw him at rookie minicamp, it was the explosiveness. Like, he's an explosive player. I give him – the guys that have acceleration, I always call them Teslas. Because, you know, like, a Tesla goes 0-60, like 2-3 seconds.
Right.
Right, and he has that. And I think you saw that on the field. Even once Paz went on. But the other thing that I like is just his versatility, whereas he could be used out of the backfield. And you're seeing different packages where they're getting him out there, you know, matched up with the linebacker, and they're taking advantage of it. And I think that's the main thing. He's going to be a really big threat in the passing game. He's better catching the football than I thought he would be.
Now, what do you expect to see in this preseason game? Because we have gotten some texts. And, you know, it's like, what are we going to see? We're not going to find out anything much. And Caroline and I had to explain, it's not necessarily you're going to find out the whole of the team, but you're going to find out what some of these guys, these backups and these special teams players are going to look like.
Yeah, exactly. I think when you look at, first off, with Malik Willis, I would be surprised if they don't orchestrate some form of option RPOs as well, like all of that stuff. That's, you know, what he was – built his success on at Liberty, you know, so they'll definitely accent that. I think really it's going to be just some of the players like, you know, Treshawn Harrison, Gavin Holmes, Colton Dow, you know, he got some pretty significant reps today, you know, with Ryan Tannehill and the crew. So those guys, Josh Wiley, you know, offensively, it's going to be vanilla, but they're still going to, by all means, put these guys in chances to make plays because they're trying to earn jobs.
I think the wide receiver position has been so interesting to watch kind of unfold in practice. TD is with us. You know, you got, what, six spots, give or take?
Yeah.
Who do you think is Saturday most critical for?
Racy McMath, Mason Kinsey, Colton Dow especially. And I know he's a local kid and everybody wants to root for him and quite attractive athletically. He had the big game against Tennessee, but there's some plays being left on the field. And for him specifically, it's just something on that corner route, tracking it over his shoulder, is just not working. He had one that he dropped today. There was one right on this sideline right here a couple weeks ago. Malik Willis threw it. You got to, when you're at that borderline, every time you're on film, it has to be, okay, good job. You know what I mean? It can't be, you should have had that. And I think – in the game, if he's able to have one of those super plays, it'll help him so much. McMath, I think, has the inside track towards that sixth receiver spot. But for him, you know, he just has to go out and keep catching the ball as well.
There have been plays that I've seen from Racy McMath or Reggie Robertson where it's like, okay, I'm taking notice of you.
Yeah.
To that point, I haven't seen a ton of those from Colton Dowell.
Yeah.
But sticking, you know, offensively, looking at the running back position, Jonathan Ward has been one of those guys that I cannot ignore. He juked out Imani Hooker earlier in some of those drills.
Yeah.
Is that bad news for Hassan Haskins?
Yeah. I think Ward, Spears, it is bad news. I think they keep four running backs, but it's just they love Haskins' special team stuff. You know what I mean? And that's really the thing. Coach Aukerman is really high on. I think he led the team last year in special teams tackles. But it's almost like Ward and Spears, like they may cancel each other out because they're so similar. You know what I mean? So I don't know. It doesn't help them, that's for sure, that another guy at your position is stepping up like that.
Now, how about Chris Moore? How has he looked in camp to you?
I was just telling was it Ben Arthur we were watching practice together. I was just telling, like, he's more impressive than I thought. Like, I wasn't expecting, you know, he had a one-hand catch 2 weeks ago. You see him catch the post. He went up and he high-pointed over two defenders, kind of juggling catch during a team period. He's just consistent. I think that's the main thing. And it's funny, I joked with, I forget who it was, but I was like, he's like a deer. You know what I mean? And that's one of the things that I always prided myself on in college. I would tell them, yo, I'm like a John Deere tractor, man. I'm going to just keep going and going and going. And that's what Chris Moore is, man. He, to his point, you know, he doesn't get tired. He wants to just keep running and running. And when the ball comes his way, he makes the plays consistently.
It seems like to me, in you know, Hop is in his own category. I think Hop's in his own category. But I think to me, Chris Moore has looked the most polished of all the receivers.
Yeah.
He looks smooth. I didn't realize he was – he looks fast. I didn't realize he was that, you know, fast. But he has speed to him. He's bigger than what I thought he would be. He just seems like, to me, he's going to be the guy that as the season goes on, they're going to look to him more and more and more.
Yeah, I think he's going to be – so you know how Westbrook and Kenny was last year?
Mm-hmm.
As far as like someone that – you know, they made some plays, but that was a guy that kind of – he's going to be that just a little bit more elevated, I think. And sometimes it's just about getting an opportunity.
Exactly.
And he had a solid year last year.
Because he got his opportunity.
Because he got the opportunity. And then, as you know, you build on that. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So he came into this camp confident, realizing that there was an opportunity, you know what I mean, to step up, and that's what you're seeing. And then on top of that, he's working with the Gunners too. Mm-hmm. So he didn't lose track, because that was his meal ticket in Baltimore. He didn't lose track of what matters also, and that's the more you could do.
TD is with us. TD, I know that everyone's eyes are going to be on the quarterbacks this weekend, that a lot of eyes are going to be maybe on the kicking battle. What else are you looking at? Maybe see some battles start shaking out as we head into preseason games.
I want to see that safety position. Shaheem Carter has been impressed. I mean, there's a
had
lot
a nice
of,
PBU today.
Yeah,
in
yeah.
7-on-7.
He did. Exactly, 7-on-7. Alonzo Davis, I'll be watching. He's a DB, but Matthew Jackson is one. I know they like Mike Brown a lot, number 44. Mm-hmm. He's someone that, you know, when Hooker was down, he was getting a lot of reps. So I just want to see the depth at that safety position and in the secondary. That's something. You mentioned the kickers. I also want to see everybody. We all need to be focused on that linebacker position.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, Alshire won't be in there, but you saw Chance Campbell get some key reps with Dr. Gibby, Jack Gibbons, to start things out. And then Monty Rice came in. So I want to see how they manage that trio, those guys as well. Luke Gifford, you know, on special teams. So that's what I'll be watching. And I can't leave my guy out, man. Caleb Murphy, who I really like. You know, he's a fellow D2 player. So I got to shout him out. You know, he led the nation in sacks last year.
Got to ride or die for the D2 guys.
That's right.
Chris Hubbard taking majority of right tackle first team reps today. What did you see from him? I know that's not probably the sexiest thing to keep an eye on, is that the right tackle position, but how did you see him hold his own today?
Well, one of the things that I like that they did down here in one-on-ones is they were doing, like, switching off and handling the TE stunts, and he did a good job with that. It's impressive how he's coming along. You know, these guys, they have the luxury of going against, you know, a Jeffrey Simmons, a Janico Autry. And you get to feel that bull rush, and he handled that a couple times pretty well. I think, you know, in team period, I mean, a lot of the stuff they were doing was just so quick hitting, so you can't really, like, get a good feel of it. But
right.
I watching one-on-ones, I thought he held his own.
Is there anything you can tell about in regards to Harold Landry? I saw Harold working by himself a little bit in individuals, so there was not. It wasn't like he was something was wrong with him, but he was just working on some strength stuff. So, what have you seen from him?
Yeah, I think first and foremost, just him being out here without a brace on.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I was shocked the first day when we saw that, but then you see him, and once again, he's one-on-one. Everybody's looking at 7-on-7.
Uh-huh.
It's fun to watch.
Yeah.
You see a lot down there one-on-ones. And there was a rep he was going against. Matter of fact, it was Chris Hubbard he was going against. And he tried the initial speed off of the edge, and Hubbard couldn't get his hands on him. And it was like, you know those motorcycle races where they lean like this?
Oh, yeah.
You know, they're leaning, and their knee is almost on the street.
Uh-huh.
That's how he came off the edge. Now, he's coming. He was going against, you know, right tackle, so his left. And the way that he was able to bend and stay low and turn that corner and go get the what would have been the quarterback impressed me. And that had me say, okay, Gumby's back. You know what I mean?
Right.
He has that bend that he needs.
Was that weight on the bad knee? Or is it on the opposite side?
I think that it was the left knee that it was. But even still, like, just to be able have to bend like that, like, it puts pressure on both of them,
right,
stress
true.
On both of them. So to be able to do that, I think, was good. He did, like you said, do some side work and stuff. But, I mean, we've seen him do that a lot throughout practice. So I think Landry is in really good shape. And then the mental part of it, he said, man, when I'm out there, I'm not even thinking about it. You know what I mean? So that's it. He could be saying that, just saying it. But, I mean, if he's really truthful about that, then that's really good for him.
Last one for you, TD, because we've gotten both ends of the spectrum as we've kind of been previewing the preseason game on Saturday. One side saying, I can't wait to find out if the Tides are Super Bowl contenders on Saturday.
Well, you ain't going to find that out.
Yeah, you ain't going to find that out. The other side saying, it's preseason. I don't care. You know, it's not real. Yeah. What's kind of your message to fans with how they should maybe take this game with a grain of salt this weekend?
I think this whole up until September, 12th or whenever it is, you don't get too high and you don't get too low. Mm-hmm. Something I always tell Jared, you know, because like he'll see Will Levis come out here and have a bad day. Oh, no, Will Levis sucks. And then he'll see Malik Willis come out and have a great day. Malik Willis needs to be the starter. You know, you always stay grounded. You understand what you're looking at, and you take it for what it is. And just like any of these guys will tell you, you stack days, right? Mm-hmm. So you let those days stack. Okay, you know what? Keep it in mind. Oh, Andre Dillard had a good practice on Friday. Okay, we didn't see him Saturday, Sunday. Oh, wow, good practice today. Something to think about. But you never get too low, too high. That's the thing I would tell these fans. There was a guy, what was the running back? He ended up signing with the Rams. He led the NFL in preseason rushing yards. Mekhi Sargent. And everybody was like, there's no way you cut Mekhi Sargent. He has to make the roster. He was cut, put on the practice squad, was there for like 7 weeks. And then the Rams signed him off the practice squad when all that stuff with Cam Akers and the other running back they have. So that's what I say. Don't get too high, too low.
TD, you're the best. Appreciate you stopping by. Appreciate
Thank
your breakdown.
You.
We'll chat next
you.
Week.
Always good to talk shop.
All right. We will react to what TD had to say coming up next. And, of course, your thoughts, your calls, your text, 615-737-1025. Caroline, Willie, and D-Mace is brought to you by Zen Sports. Start earning cash rewards on your bets today. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 or older and in Tennessee to bet.
How's Elijah handling the variety of roles?
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I think, okay, there was probably the most, you know, we went in the call-up period. Again, I told you, came in there on Julius and stepped up in there and has shown some versatility. And, you know, probably we'll get some work at nickel eventually and making sure that he's still good there. But I do, you know, his ability to be out there, you know, we're dealing with some of the things that he dealt with last year from a health perspective. I think he's continued to improve and get better.
It was Mike Vrabel up at the podium. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, we're live out here at St. Thomas Sports Park. Just wrapped up Titans practice. Just heard from TD. It was a tough day in the passing game. Really, for all three quarterbacks, Ryan Tannehill looked the best and probably most comfortable handling the wind. But you could tell the passing game struggled a little bit. There were more handoffs today than really I've seen all training camp long. So, and that's going to happen in days like today, but that's why you practice outside in days like today. That's why you get through all of the elements in days like today, because you're not going to be playing in 75 degrees and sunny all season long.
It's the grind of
it
camp.
It is the absolute grind. And that also brings up the question, because TD mentioned how good the secondary looked today. Did the secondary look good today because the passing game struggled, or did the passing game struggle because of the secondary? I think both, honestly, can be true.
Yeah, I think both can be true at the same time. The conditions were ideal for defensive backs, but not for wide receivers and quarterbacks, okay? The ball's going everywhere. You know, where you intend to throw it to, it may not make it there because of the gust and the wind. So, I mean, it was a day where, you know, you try not to – if you're the offense, and TD talked about it, it's just building days on top of days. Mm-hmm. If you're an offense, you can't get discouraged on a day like this. You just got to come back out. I believe they come back out this afternoon and just try to stack another practice on top of the one this morning and try to get better. Now, I don't know if they're outside or inside. Who knows? But I know the offense are going to make the necessary corrections in meetings today before this afternoon's practice. And they're looking to have a better period or better practice this afternoon than they had this morning, because it was ideal for the defense in regards to passing.
Right. And that's something that we'll look at tomorrow. We'll be back out here tomorrow at the practice field. Keep an eye on the passing game. How are you able to your point, stack days on top of days? But let's get into your thoughts. Our phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. One texter texts in, says, I listened to Tajay Spears, and your sit down with Tajay Spears. He mentioned how he's struggling a bit. He's not the first rookie that's mentioned that. What can the Titans do to help these rookies come along?
Well, just continue to encourage him. Continue to stay in the, you know, the rookies got to continue to stay in their playbooks. Continue to ask questions because there, again, there's only so much a coach can do. It's like, listen, I can lead you to water, but I can't make you drink it.
Right.
You know, and that's the same thing here. These coaches can, you know, show you what to do and how to do it, but then ultimately you got to go out and perform it, you know. So it's more so up to these players, these young guys, to make sure that they're doing everything necessary, that they're getting better, being that playbook, getting your proper rest, proper diet, making sure you're stretching and getting treatment when you need to. Because once you step out on this football field, you don't want to have any ailments, at least the ones you can help. And you want to make sure that you're mentally, you know, mentally full when you come out on this practice field, meaning that nothing is a surprise to you. If you're prepared, then you won't be nervous in a sense. At least that's how I felt. The nervousness will go away. Well, let's just say the nervousness will go away very quickly. But if you don't know what to do, you're going to be nervous every time you go out there and practice, every right. rep that you have. Why? Because do I know what to do on this play? Do I not know what to do? But if you're prepared, you go out there and you just let your athletic ability take over.
And I think that whenever you have any sort of transition, there's going to be an inherent struggle.
Yeah.
There's going to be hurdles, and it happens in any point in life.
It happened at Treylon Burks last year.
It happened at Treylon Burks last year, and it happens to anyone. You know, you graduate college or you leave home, you enter the real world. There's going to be surprises, and there's going to be things that you're going to have to take in stride. And I think there's only so much, to your point, the Titans can do. I mean, I know they have, you know, they have rookie mini camp. They have OTAs. They get the rookies together. They put the rookies together in hotel rooms. They foster a culture to where it can kind of come together and help each other out. But when you're entering the NFL, I mean, that's a tough job. That's a tough task. To have a guy in here who's young, you know, you're coming to a new town, you're learning a new offense, you have new teammates. It's probably pretty overwhelming to enter a locker room full of guys that you have no idea who they are, what their names are, the guys that you've been watching your entire life. That's a little bit intimidating. So I do think that there's just inherently obstacles that you have to get through. Is there anything that the team can do differently or better to help them along with that? I don't know, because I don't know what they do.
I'm sure they're doing everything possible to make sure those players, especially their young guys, have everything that they need. But a lot of it is, what am I doing as a player?
Mm-hmm.
Again, you know, if you are putting in the time, if you are doing the necessary things that are going to make you better, once you step out on the football field, it becomes a little bit easier and easier. Not to say that you're not working hard, because you're working hard, but from a mental standpoint, it becomes easier and easier. Why do you think a guy like Kevin Byard can stand up there and say what he says, you know, today or any other day, in regards to looking at younger guys and evaluating younger guys from your position? Why? Because he's confident in what he does. He knows that he's putting in the work as a veteran guy, that he can sit out there and critique a young guy. Because I know what I'm doing, and I want you to be in the same place that I'm in right now. So a lot of this stuff with these younger guys, it's on them. You will go as far as, one, your talent takes you, but then, two, not just your talent, how you prepare in this league. How you prepare in this league will keep you in this league a very long time if you got skill to play it.
One texter texts in on the Dan Graziano article that we were discussing earlier. So Dan Graziano put up an article on ESPN.com of overreactions or fair reactions, not overreactions, to a bunch of NFL storylines. And we'll go through them. But the one that the texter is breaking down is the one that we were discussing earlier, where the idea, the storyline in question, is that the Jags season will be a disappointment if they don't win the AFC South. Dan Graziano said that is not an overreaction, that it is fair to say that if the Jags don't win the AFC South, that it would be a disappointment. One texter texts in and says, I would say that it's a disappointment if the Titans don't win the AFC South too. And I think that's a fair Titan fan perspective.
Yeah.
I think that every person in that building would say the same thing, that it would be a disappointment if the Titans don't win the AFC South. Because I don't think that they're bringing back Tannehill and Byard and Henry and adding the pieces that they did in the offseason if they weren't at least trying the best that they could possibly could to win as many football games as they can. But I'm glad that the texter brought up that article, because I was listening to Sirius XM NFL radio yesterday, and there were some pretty bold predictions for the Titans in their season, this upcoming season. So we'll get into that coming up next, what Sirius XM NFL radio had to say about the Titans and their predictions. And honestly, this is one of the first times that I've heard a national person talk about the Titans this way. So we'll get into that coming up next. 615-737-1025. Caroline, Willie, D-Mays, 1025-1063 of the game.
The advantage a team in that division has over the teams in the AFC is the division, Brett. Is a division where more than likely you're going to have two rookie quarterbacks you're going to be facing. You're not getting that in the AFC East. You're not getting that in the AFC North. You're not getting that in the AFC West. So there's an opportunity to, I don't want to say feast, but have an upper hand in your own division. And look at it this way. If you can split with the Jaguars, right? Fair enough. You split with the Jaguars, get a win there. And then if you can take, I'm not even going to say sweep because that's hard to do, but if you can get 3 out of 4 against the Colts and the Texans combined, is that fair? You might lose one along the line somewhere, but you don't even sweep them. I'm giving you 3 out of 4.
There that was Bill Legas on Sirius XM NFL radio on the Titans' upcoming season. And to his first point about the division, I do think that is a huge advantage for the Titans, maybe over some other teams in the AFC. This is such a winnable division. I mean, between the AFC South and the NFC South, those have to be the lightest divisions in the NFL. Like, if we were looking at, let's say the Titans were the Patriots, or let's say the Titans were in the AFC East.
Oh, my goodness.
Our conversation about this team and its expectations, I think, would be far different than what they are now, just given that this really does seem like a two-dog race between the Jags and the Titans, and then you're dealing with two rookie quarterbacks and the Colts and the Texans. So I do agree with that. I don't know if you feel any differently.
No,
the division is one of their assets.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's one of your allies. Your division is your ally right now because it's not a top to bottom. It's not a tough division. At least for the last 3 years, it hadn't been a tough division. Now, we all know the NFL is cyclical. And, you know, it's one, you know, for 2 or 3 years, you have a bad division all of a sudden. One team gets a key player, another team gets a key player, and then all of a sudden the bad division becomes a good division, a la the AFC West, you know, before Kansas City just ruled it. And then, you know, now Denver gets Sean Payton. The Vegas Raiders seem like they're a little bit better team. The Chargers are a better team. So you're talking about a division at one point went from being not good division to a really, really tough division. AFC North is the same way. So the Titans and Jacksonville.
NFC East probably too. It went from the NFC East, to now one of the most competitive divisions in football.
So the AFC South, you know, it's a winnable division for both teams, the Jaguars and the Titans.
And so Bill Legas' second point about the Titans in the division, he said, hey, I think it's possible they could split with Jacksonville and go 3 of 4 with the rest of the remaining division games, 2 against Houston, 2 against Indianapolis, which honestly is the most optimistic take or projection for the Titans this season that I've heard from any other national radio host or writer or anyone on TV of the time. And I think that's realistic. I think that is a fair expectation, and if that's how the division ends up shaking out, Titans split with the Jags, then go 3 of 4 against the Texans and the Colts, because I always have to throw in there, like the Titans just messing something up against the Texans or the Colts. A team that they should beat, and that's just how the divisional games work. Uh-huh. You're going to lose one in there. It's inevitable. So I think that's – I can live with that at night.
But, I mean, isn't that what they did last year? Actually, they won – they lost twice to Jacksonville.
But
then they beat Indianapolis and Houston both times. So they were 4-0 versus those two teams. The problem was that they were 0-2 versus the Jaguars.
Jacksonville, right. Yeah. But if you told me now that the Titans are going to go, 4-5, 4-6 in the division, split with Jacksonville and you drop one dumb game that you shouldn't have lost against either the Colts or the Texans, like, I can live with that. And I think that's a really fair projection for the Titans in the division this season. I would be cool with it. But Brad Hopkins had a much more optimistic view of it all. Of course, Brad Hopkins, former Oiler and Titan, said, hey, 4-6 is selling the Titans short. This was Brad Hopkins on his take of what he expects from the Titans this season in the division.
Listen, I'm saying they sweep the Jags this year.
Sweep the Jags?
Yes, the Titans sweep the Jags this year. They go down to Jacksonville. They're going down to Jacksonville and punch them right in the mouth like they've done so many years before, and they'll defend their turf. And the reason why I believe that is because this is one of the top rushing defenses in the NFL, bar none. Now, were they as porous as a sieve in the back end? Yes, they were. But I think that when you have guys that can cover the back end and also rush the passer, shoot, Arden Key came over from Jacksonville. You don't think he's going to be inspired two games a year to utterly annihilate Trevor Lawrence because that was his former team? Absolutely. You know, Jeffrey Simmons just got the bag. You think he wants to be labeled like somebody that got lazy and complacent because they finally got paid? Heck no. This dude is in practice every day coming out talking about this stuff is too easy and he ain't saying stuff because he's being so disruptive. There have to be at least six hands on this guy to stop him in practice.
So then, hold on. What do you think they're going in their own division?
6-0 in the division.
Well, you made my job a lot easier.
Yeah, it sounds, go ahead. Make fun of me. That's cool. But think about it.
I'm not making fun of it. I'm just saying you made my job a lot easier.
You don't think that, I think that this team can definitely beat a brand spanking new rookie twice. And that's the occasion in both the other teams that they're playing, Anthony Richardson and CJ Stroud. I think that they can, that defense I just mentioned can get after some rookies. So that's what you're talking about. So the only other team is Jacksonville. Would it be hard to do it? Absolutely. But is it possible? Absolutely.
There you go. And that was Brad Hopkins on SiriusXM NFL Radio. The Titans are going 6-0 in the division. Awfully peaches and cream perspective.
Those are his two-tone blue glasses.
That's his two-tone blue glasses.
That he's wearing. Listen.
He makes some fair points.
Anything is possible. But I just think realistically, if you look at this division, I think, Jacksonville and the Titans split. They split one another. I think
which inherently makes the division that much more interesting.
Exactly. I think Houston and Indianapolis are going to be tougher outs than what people expect them. Watch Houston.
So?
Watch Houston and their defense. I think DeNico Ryans is going to get that defense to playing hard, playing physical, and playing fast. Now, their offense is going to take a minute. I get that. But they're going to be in a lot of games because of their defense, I believe, this year. I'm not saying they're going to win them, but they're going to be in a lot of games, which means, to me, division games are already tough as it is. I don't care how bad you are as a team. They're tough because you're playing opponents twice a year. They know you. You know them.
They always end up being way closer than they need
exactly.
to be.
Exactly. So those games will be close. Versus Houston in Indianapolis. And whoever loses a game to one of those two teams, they already now put themselves behind the eight ball.
Yeah.
It's going to be what do you do outside of the division. That's going to be the key in who wins this division. Because right now, honestly, even though I think Houston and Indianapolis will make it tough, and hell, Indianapolis may surprise a team or two. We just don't know. But I think the division is going to be tough, but ultimately is going to be down to the Titans and the Jacksonville Jaguars, and it's going to come down to who wins more out-of-division games than not.
And that's where I think for the Titans, the second-place schedule really comes into play and is kind of plays into your advantage. And look, Brad Hopkins, he's wearing his Titans jersey. Uh-huh. He's got his two-tone blue glasses on, 6-0 in the division, which is fine to say now because it's August.
And it could happen. You never know.
Anything can happen. Am I going to put my money on it? Absolutely not. No. I think it's a very peaches and cream perspective of how this season could play out because you could be the best team in your division and still lose a division game here and there. It's the National Football League. I mean, crazy things happen. Weird things happen. Teams lose to teams that they're
injury
supposed to
and everything else.
All the time. Weird things happen in this league. So So while I appreciate the positive perspective on things, because we don't get a whole lot of that nationally about the Titans, I can't go that far as to say 6-0.
Yeah.
But I do think he brings up fair points about the defense. I think that Arden Key, he mentions Arden Key. I'll throw Azeez Alshayer in there as well. I think those are sneaky pickups that are going to only add layers onto this defense. I don't think that people are giving the Titans defense enough credit, because offensively, that's a sexy thing to talk about, is the quarterback and the guys that the quarterback is throwing to. And you can look at the Jags and say that's a more sexy offense to talk about. But I do think the defense is an underrated element of this Titans team that often gets overlooked.
And I don't think it gets overlooked. I just think because the offense was inept last year from a passing standpoint, then no matter what the defense, unless they're, you know, giving up only 10 points a game, I think the people are more so worried about the Titans offense and how it will look than the defense. I honestly don't think the defense is getting overlooked. People know what they can do, but they're realizing that a lot of the Titans this season hinges on how well that passing game is.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. Again, Brad Hopkins, former Oiler/Titan, on SiriusXM NFL Radio, says he thinks the Titans are going 6-0 in the division. I appreciate the positivity. Can't really get on board with that. But his co-host, Bill Leckis, says, hey, I think the Titans could split with the Jags, get 3 out of 4 against the Titans and the Texans, and then that sets them up in good position. I think that that is a fair evaluation. I don't think that's incredibly far off, of course, barring injury and everything like that. So let's get your thoughts on that coming up next. Plus, Dan Graziano has his overreactions and not overreactions for some of the biggest storylines in the NFL this season, so we'll break those down as well. Caroline, Willie, D-Mays, 1025, 1063, the game. Caroline, Willie, D-Mays. Hey, this week's Nashville's best deal is CBD American Shaman. Get half off a $30 gift card right now to their Goodlettsville or Hendersonville locations at thegamenashville.com/deals. So we just played a cut from SiriusXM NFL Radio. Bill Leckis says, hey, I think the Titans could split with the Jags, go 3 of 4 with the rest of the division, and going 4 of 6 in the AFC South, that just might be enough to win them the division, given that the Titans play a second-place schedule, and that when you play Tua and the Dolphins, no disrespect to Tua and the Dolphins, the Jags play Josh Allen and the Bills. If you give me those two options, I'm probably leaning toward Tua and the Dolphins. But like I say, it could be enough to win the division. Brad Hopkins, of course, former Oiler and Titan, says, I think the Titans are going 6-0 in the division, which might be just a little bit too rich for our blood, D-Mace. But he says, hey, this defense is going to be much improved with the addition of Arden Key, Jeffrey Simmons coming off of a contract year. He's going to want to show up and say, hey, you can pay me, but I'm still going to be able to deliver. That doesn't mean that I'm just going to all of a sudden hang it up because I got the big contract. We've got some thoughts on that in our text line from my WilsonCountyHyundai.com. So unless you have a thought, D-Mace,
let's go.
Let's get to the phones. Our phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025 is our phone number if you have a thought. Kevin texts in, says, plus the addition of Harold Landry, plus the addition of Sean Murphy Bunting, the Titans have got more up their sleeve than most people think. Not on an NFL level, but in the division, they're the dog. I'm the one that thinks the Jags are going to be improved, but I don't think that they're going to be able to hold up against the Titans. Here's one thing that I want to, you know, maybe just caution everyone on. I think this Titans defense is going to be for real. I think this Titans front seven could be top 10 in the league. You still got to score points.
Yeah.
You can hold a team off to 10 points, but unless you score 11, you're not going to be winning very many games.
Yeah, you're not. You know, and people are afraid of Jacksonville, and rightfully so.
They're a good team. They've got good weapons.
They got good weapons. They have a young quarterback that seems like he's on the rise right now. They got a Super Bowl winning head coach. This team is scary to not just the Titans. It's not just the Titans. They're scary to other teams in the AFC because of their youth. They might be one of the youngest teams in the AFC, but with a high ceiling. That high ceiling could win them the division, or, you know, because they're so young, you know, as they start getting to the end of the season, you know, maybe a more veteran team knows how to prepare themselves in situations like that. Where
knows
things
how
are,
to win.
Exactly, where things are close. But I'm hearing a lot of Jacksonville. Oh, Jacksonville's not going to be. Oh, that's because people are scared of Jacksonville. And they are sort of the unknown. Even though we know the type of players that they have, we just don't know how good this team can truly be, the Jacksonville Jaguars. This is how the Tennessee Titans were 3 or 4 years ago. Once they finally got them, and Mike Mularkey was great. I thought Mike Mularkey was great. But once Vrabel took over, this team was still an unknown. But, man, if you looked at their roster, you're like, man, they got some players. They got some players, and people were scared of them. Why? Because they didn't understand or they didn't realize how good this team. Once Vrabel got his culture, how good this team really was going to be. That first year, they made it to the playoffs, I believe, in his first year. Or did they make it his first year? I think they might have made it to the playoff, but I know they made it the second year. But after that, people started to realize how good this team was because they set a culture. Jacksonville is the same way. Jacksonville is a team with a bunch of young talent, a really good head coach, and they're now establishing their culture. And people just don't know what to make of it. Yes, they went on a nice little run last year toward the end of the season, but people don't think that they can then come back and reduplicate that. Just like people didn't think the Titans could come back and reduplicate
it. But I do think people think that they can reduplicate it.
I'm saying as far as people looking at it and say, oh, this division is so close. It's close because it's football. Mm-hmm. It's close because the Titans are a well-coached team. But if you're talking the personnel from top to bottom, I think right now the Jacksonville Jaguars are ahead of the Titans. Again, it doesn't mean that the Jacksonville is just going to run away with the division.
Right.
But to me, from top to bottom, at this point, Jacksonville's a better team. And people are worried about that.
And But I don't think that, to your point, and maybe this is just things that I've been reading and there's different conversations that I haven't been seeing, but I think Dan Graziano's article that says it's not an overreaction to think that it would be a big disappointment
but that's
if
why
the Jags
he thinks
don't
that, yeah.
win the AFC South. I think that he thinks that because he doesn't think it's a close division. I don't think they do see it as maybe a two-dog race. Or maybe they do, and hey, it's the Jags race to win, and then like the Titans are also there, and then the two rookie quarterbacks.
Well, it's like this: you have a 100-meter dash.
Uh-huh.
You have four, essentially, what it is four racers, four competitors
uh-huh.
in a 100-meter dash. The Indianapolis Colts, Tennessee Titans, Houston Texans, Jacksonville Jaguars. All of them about to run a 100-yard dash. Well, Houston will run a 100-yard dash in 10 flat. Indianapolis are running in 9.99. Tennessee are running in 9 flat. Somewhere around that, 9.9 uh-huh. flat. Jacksonville is running in at about 9.87. Everybody, the Titans and Jacksonville are running fast,
mm-hmm.
but Jacksonville's running a little bit faster. And they put themselves. Not to say that Tennessee is a bad team. They're
right.
a really good team. But Jacksonville's just a little bit faster right now. Not to say that if something happens in the race, that they won't catch up.
Uh-huh.
But right now, as we sit, Jacksonville's a much faster team than the Titans.
And that's totally fine. But I think that we both acknowledge that maybe the race is close.
Yeah, it's close. The race is close, yes.
Which I don't feel the vibe maybe nationally, which
okay.
is fine. I don't need to get that vibe nationally because the Titans don't always get the respect that maybe that they deserve. But that's just what I'm saying is I think that we think it is a close enough division, which I do believe.
Mm-hmm.
I do think it's closer than at least maybe some national talking heads would lead on to it being. Because I think a lot of people look at, well, you know, the Titans just, you know, totally pooped the division away last year, lost 7 consecutive games. What? And the Titans got worse at the end of the season, and the Jags got better.
But it's all, again, it's all cyclical. It seems like every team in this division has their 4 or 5 year run, and then it sort of flips
yeah.
to the next team. And the Titans, and I'm not saying, because, listen, the division can turn out like this. Jacksonville winning 12 games, Titans winning 11. And both of them are making the playoffs.
Maybe so.
It could be that. So, I mean.
Because the rest of the AFC could totally cannibalize
themselves.
Exactly.
And this is the only division that is weak enough where If we do what we need to do outside of our, if we do what we need to do inside the division, meaning both Jacksonville and the Titans, if they both beat Houston and Indianapolis and they split between one another, now all we got to do is go out and win, obviously,
win the
more
rest
games.
Of our schedules.
Yeah, win the rest of our schedules. Now, a division that looked weak is not weak. And I don't – okay, better yet, this isn't a weak division. It's just top heavy with two teams. And both of these teams are capable of winning 11, 12 games. If the again, if the Titans win 12 games and Jacksonville wins 11, that's not a bad division. That's just a top-heavy division.
It's just two rookie quarterbacks
exactly,
in a division
absolutely.
With two teams that could make the playoffs.
Now, if it was like it was last year, then yes, it's a bad division because the winner wins 9 games to go to the playoffs.
Right.
You know,
because you could also look at I look at the NFC South the same way. Uh-huh. You know, you got a rookie quarterback in there and a whole lot of question marks surrounding the rest of the division. Mm-hmm. I think that there are still some question marks surrounding the Titans. You got two rookie quarterbacks, and then the Jags are what they are. Mm-hmm. Last one, Jordan Dixon, Texan, says the Titans may have something up their sleeves, but I'm not getting my hopes up until week one or week two, and we see how much this team has come together. I don't think you're going to know what this team is week one and week
two. Yeah, not. Because they lost to the New York Giants week one, but then reeled off like six or seven in a row, end up being 7-2 before the injuries collapsed.
Went to overtime with the Kansas City Chiefs with Malik Willis as your starting quarterback.
Yeah, so we don't know what this team is going to be.
You're not
going to
know
two.
What it's going to be.
Yeah.
That's going to do it for us today. We'll be back at training camp tomorrow starting at 11 a.m. Stillman and Company is up next.
Be love and love on your people. Peace.